Here we go. Our final storyteller for the evening is Summer Custer. When Summer was 19, she lived in Kingston, Jamaica, studying gender and development and dance hall reggae culture. Now as a freelance writer, she writes about her 15 years living in Latin America and Caribbean cultures and teaches Spanish to middle school students who often ask her to rap for them, apparently. Born and raised in Juneau, she lives in the world's most beautiful capital city with her husband and two kids who, when asked if they liked her rapping, I think this is a direct quote, replied, eh. Though her hip-hop days are behind her, she'll occasionally bust a rhyme while singing songs on her guitar just to make sure people are paying attention. Welcome, Summer.
In Kingston, Jamaica, reggae music is everywhere. Now, in 1998, I'm not talking about Bob Marley. In 1998, it was dancehall reggae. On the street, on the buses, people waiting for the bus, on the street, dancing. Reggae music, dancehall reggae, blasting everywhere. And if you don't know what dancehall reggae sounds like, it's heavy bass with rhythm, and it's aggressive, and it's kind of violent sounding, which is completely appropriate for because in 1998, Kingston, Jamaica had the highest rate of homicide of any city in the Americas. So when I'm not studying at the University of West Indies, I'm in my neighborhood, and I would go for walks. Is the feedback okay? Or is that bothering you guys? It's okay. Okay. And I'm going for walks through the neighborhood, and there's people hanging out on the corners. And this one time I walk by and I see this guy who kind of catches my attention because he's pretty handsome. He's got these amazing cornrows with the little hair sticking up, and his eyebrows are like shaved into stripes, and he's got these shiny silver sunglasses and a matching shiny silver jersey, and he's tall and he's handsome and this big, beautiful white smile against his black skin. And I think I might have lingered a little bit because he was like, "Wagwan." And I was like, "Oh, nothing. I'm just going for a walk." And he said, "Uh-huh. You keep walking." And that kind of took me by surprise because up to that point, Jamaican guys had been a little more forward and like, "Come here," as opposed to "go away." So I kind of liked that he pushed me along. It made me feel safe. So a couple days later, I'm like, "Huh, I wonder if I'll see that guy again. So maybe I'll just like kind of walk around that corner," and sure enough, there he was. So we struck up a conversation, and I find out that he's a dancehall reggae rapper, and his name, he calls himself Ninja 2000, which sounded really futuristic for 1998. And he takes me into his dance hall reggae world. So I'm going to recording studios. I meet UB40. I meet Third World. I meet some dance hall reggae stars like Spraga Benz and Innocent Crew. I'm sure you've heard of all of them. And he takes me to stage shows where I watch him perform on the stage. And he even takes me into like the deep Jamaican ghetto, which they call the Pens. He takes me to Grand's Pen, which is such a gnarly, dangerous neighborhood that even the police won't go in there. So I wear something really conservative and I hide behind the DJ set. And what I see just blows my mind. It's a conga line of men and women, like 30 of them, pressed up against each other, wearing the most amazing bashy outfits, like bright colors and their hairstyles. Like I didn't even know hair could do that. And they're whining, which is, I'm not going to demonstrate, because I can't, but it's like very sexual gyrations, right? Some women are like kind of upside down. I mean, it was just, and then there's three-story speakers. Women are climbing up the speakers and whining on those. Okay, so we start hanging out a little more. Everyone around me is speaking Jamaican patois, which is like hardcore lingo, and it sounds really cool, and I don't even realize that I'm doing it, but all of a sudden I'm speaking patois, and I'm surrounded by so much music that I start to write my own lyrics. I've always been a songwriter, and I write some lyrics, and I'm like, hey, Ninja, I wrote some lyrics. You want to hear them? And he's like, yeah, bring it. So because I have like zero pride, I'm going to demonstrate for y'all what these sounded like. The first song I ever wrote. Okay. First song I wrote. Okay, so don't judge me too hard. Little red ed gal from Alaska, A to the mother love a K and the salmon halibut. It's what we smoke at, no, it not the crack, gotta get back. Jamaica air, take me where I bust the prong and where to mama backside a burn up. I'm gonna stop there. You're welcome. Sounds like pretty bad, huh? And he goes, next time I put you on stage with me. That time never came, gratefully. No. But actually, it kind of did in some ways, because when I moved back to Bellingham in college and stuff, I kept rapping. And I even performed at some house parties, this dancehall reggae that no one had ever heard of yet. And believe it or not, people actually liked it. And maybe it's just because they were really drunk, I don't know. And they were giving me like positive feedback, like keep doing it. So I kept writing lyrics and I started moving in, like segueing into hip hop. I started getting involved in the hip hop scene. Hung out with a rapper with Wu-Tang Clan, started doing some recording and thinking maybe there's an opportunity to be the first white female rapper because there were none. Like maybe I should pursue this. I wrote a letter to Def Jam, never mailed it, started to, yeah, I was like, okay, I'm gonna maybe pursue this. So I actually moved to New York City for my senior thesis. And lived in a Caribbean neighborhood. And New York City, by the way, is the motherland of hip hop. And it was created by a Jamaican American, DJ Kool Herc, in the Bronx. And I'm surrounded by hip hop and rap, and all my friends are Caribbean and like Jamaican and stuff. And when I'm taking the train to go to Hunter College, where I was studying music industry, among other things, I could see the big tall buildings, the projects. And I would imagine all the up and coming rappers in those projects. And that's when it dawned on me that those up and coming rappers were the ones that should be rapping, not this girl. Because they really had something to say. And hip-hop didn't belong to me. It wasn't mine. And I felt that when I was in the heart of hip-hop country. Like, in Bellingham, it was one thing. But here? So I stopped rapping. But 23 years later, I can still spit a lyric. Possibly badly. Shorty say, where's it happening? In your mind, high time, you be dropping in. Wapping with a spot you in. Spot you spinning to be stopping in my copper brim. Fitting in like Q-tip. Don't flip a cow like little sister spit a spiel again. Still Mr. Bouncer wanna diss her, mistake me for a stripper, he not let me in. Saying something about my front, I'm a simpleton. Simple trick and some pussle wanna dick me in. Disrespecting on my yin, I heat like engine, wanna burn you with my she wisdom. Okay, that's it. Thank you.